Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today's program is going to be different from any other. There's nothing more exciting than hearing Native American worship from believers in Yeshua the Messiah. You're going to hear great music, and you're going to hear an interview with Dr. Laura Lynn and Chief Joseph Riverwind. So stay with me. You don't want to miss this incredible program today. I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. I don't know if you guys remember the CD that Joshua Aaron put out a couple of years ago, and it was called Every Tribe, and this is the main song, and Chief Joseph Riverwind is on this song. Give a listen.
Every tribe, every tongue, Emmanuel, your king shall come. End of sorrows, end of pain, come and praise Creator's name. He's come again. Yeah.
That was a really exciting song, and I am really, really excited to share more music with you from Chief Joseph Riverwind and his wife, Laura Lynn. I think Native American worship is incredible, so I'll let you judge for yourself. This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Here's a quick word about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com. This next song is called War Dance.
Warrior.
Go away,
go away.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I play a lot of different types of music on this program. You're going to hear an interview coming up shortly with Chief Joseph Riverwind and his wife, Dr. Laurelyn Riverwind, and they are Native American Indians who love Yeshua, and so I am featuring their music today, and it's pretty exciting. Stay with me for more exciting music. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. This next song is called Call to Creator.
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yeshua.
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yeshua.
Yahweh, Yahweh, Yeshua.
Yahweh, Yahweh.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'm so excited that you are with me today. For those of you that are new to this program, I'm a nice Jewish girl. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, in a Jewish home. I was always searching for the meaning of life, and one day a lady at work showed me some scriptures, and I realized that Jesus is Jewish, the disciples were Jewish, the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. I started to meet other Jewish people who believed that Yeshua was the Messiah. It all made sense, especially Leviticus 17:11 that says there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. My friends, it just all made great sense. And so I'm excited to be on the air. I've been hosting Bagels and Blessings now since 1997, and it is such a thrill for me to do this. I have interviewed loads of people, and I love hearing their stories. And so now I am so happy to bring you this pre-recorded interview with Dr. Laurelyn Riverwind and her husband, Chief Joseph Riverwind. I know you're going to be blessed. So grab a cup of coffee, put your feet up, and enjoy this wonderful interview. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings, Dr. Laurelyn and Chief Joseph Riverwind.
Shalom.
Oh, wow. As you know, I've been wanting to do this for such a very long time, darling, a long time. And so...
Well, you know, the Creator is awesome in His timing, and this is the perfect time for it.
Amen, amen. Wow. So, tell me a little bit about your life, either one of you, growing up. Like, what was spirituality? What did that look like for you growing up?
Was two vastly different stories for both of us.
Alrighty, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
So I was, first my traditional introduction, Taigwe, Guaitiao, Taitiao, Natiao, Daka Kasike, Naboria Mahura, Daka Boriqua, Daka Yukayeke Kane, Yaya Seneko Guari. My name is Chief Joseph Riverwind. I am the Arawak Taino people, and from the home island of Boriken, which is the house of the great and valiant Lord in my people's language, also known as Puerto Rico. Many blessings from Yaya to you. I am a peace chief and servant of the people, and I am honored and blessed to be here and sharing this time with you.
Shio. Ganikti lakolene ekwani unole takoto a ji jalagi ganuseta. Hello, I'm Dr. Laurelyn Riverwind, and I am the ambassador of the Georgia Tribe of Eastern Cherokee. And thank you so much for having us. We give honor to Creator and to Chief Cornerstone Yeshua, and thank Him for bringing us together today in unity and in love.
Amen.
We honor Him first above all else.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Now that proper protocol is done. You know, the kingdom is His kingdom is full of protocol, and that's something that we as Native people just love. But you asked about our upbringings. I was born in Puerto Rico in Rio Piedras, which is Rock River, and my people are Taino. We're most commonly known as Taino. We call ourselves Arawaka or Boricua. Sometimes Jibaro, depending on the region that you're from. My family were Jibaros, which means people of the mountains in our native language. And we're the tribe that discovered Columbus wandering lost in the ocean. He didn't discover anything. We're here already. And so we discovered him, and, you know, as is tradition with almost every native tribe that we know, we're very welcoming people. And so we welcomed them to our shores, although there have been many others who come before, such as like the Vikings, you know, the Norse people and everything. But we are the Taino. I grew up in the mountains of Puerto Rico. I was adopted by my grandparents when I was a baby, and I was raised by them. My grandfather, he spoke our language, our Arawak language, and I remember when I was maybe about 9 or 10, when I first realized that what we spoke in the home was different than what we spoke when we went into town. Those are my formative years. My grandfather taught me a lot about planting and the stars and the stories and traditions of our people. And my grandmother, she was also Taino, but also Sephardic Jewish. And you know, I jokingly tell people that being Native and Jewish makes me a bargain hunter-gatherer. And but she was a non-practicing Catholic, but our family were B'nai Anusim. So at home, in the kitchen, she would sing, you know, Ladino songs in Hebrew. And so I had this real beautiful upbringing, and with both of our families, although not very religious, more spiritual than anything. And then when I was, we moved to the States, and my exposure to the church was just here and there. It really wasn't anything I grew up with. But because of the history of the church, and the history specifically of the church and my people, there was really a strong seed of hatred that grew in me against anything that was church-related. It made no difference if it was Catholicism or Pentecostal or Charismatic or Baptist, non-denominational, whatever it was, it didn't matter to me. Because I couldn't get to a point of forgiveness for what was done in the name of, you know, what they knew, Jesus, at the time. And later on in life, I joined the military, and after I got out of the military, I met my wonderful soon-to-be wife at Mercer School of Medicine. She was a first-year medical student there, and when I saw her, I knew that's who Creator had set aside for me, but she would not marry an unbeliever. Oh, no. It took her 4 years.
Wow. That's a lot of prayer. A lot of prayer.
4 years.
Was he worth waiting for?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So,
go ahead.
So, Dr. Laurelin, I take it you, well, obviously, you were a believer first.
I was. I've been a believer most of my life. I mean, I was very, very young. And I can't even remember a time without the Lord, although I do remember a time when I really began to be very serious about the Lord and had a very cognizant awareness of my need for Him, and went through repentance and a salvation experience, which apparently had happened when I was younger, but I was probably about 9 or 10 when I really started to be able to begin to understand my need for Him, and went through baptism, and was filled with the Holy Spirit at 12, and I was raised by parents who became missionaries while I was a teenager, and I went with them onto the mission field, and so I've had a very evangelical Christian life up until about 15 years ago. It was after Joseph and I had been married a very short time. I had not known that I was Native since a time that was very young, but our family didn't much walk in it. They pretty much tried to blend in, but there were things that stood out about our culture to people from the outside, maybe, but didn't really register with us as being distinctive. It was just part of our family, part of who we were, you know, like ways of life, gardening and hunting and building fish traps the traditional way, and just starting fire the old way, just those kind of things. And so after Joseph and I got married, then my mother told me, you know, I think there's really something to do important about these feasts of the Lord. I don't know what they are, but Laurelin, would you do a Bible study? And it sounded completely uninteresting to me. And it was at the bottom of my to-do list, but made its way finally to the top. And
after 6 months, I think, of her asking.
Actually, she told me it was years.
I think you told her once, too, Mom, I can't think of a more boring thing
I did.
To study.
I said that. When I cracked open a concordance and a Bible and asked the Holy Spirit to show me whatever the Holy Spirit wanted to show me about the Feast of the Lord, it just was this fascinating study that revolutionized my life. Mm-hmm. And I took it to my husband and showed what I found. I thought it was going to be like a an hour or two Bible study, and it turned out to be years, and take me through every book in scripture, and
this was about 17-18 years ago, and when she brought this, and she's like, look at this, we're reading, we're studying, and a lot of the appointed times, a lot of the feasts, our tribes also celebrate it. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like right at the same time, like especially like Feast of Tabernacles, where our tribes build booths, and we have a 7-day celebration, harvest celebration, and there's a Feast of First Fruits in our tribe.
Really?
So we're reading all this going, oh my gosh, our ancestors did this before the missionaries came and made us stop doing this.
Wow.
We were living, our tribe were living a very biblical lifestyle. I'm not saying all tribes were like this, but these specific ceremonies we found within our tribes, especially the Cherokee. Mm-hmm. And then we started seeing it all throughout scripture, the feast language, and we started keeping the Moedim. Everybody thought we were crazy, but...
And we didn't know anybody else who was doing that. Mm-hmm. We thought... Well, we've just gone off the deep end, I suppose, but this is what the Bible says
to
do.
The Bible says forever a permanent statute throughout your generations. I don't see where it says it ends.
So we're gonna try to figure out what this looks like. And then slowly but surely the Lord started introducing us here and there to people who had also independently discovered this through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it was really encouraging to us that we weren't completely crazy.
Right. Yeah, Meshuggah, right? You know the word Meshuggah?
Right, right. And it so happens that some of the native elders who have been teaching this since the 60s, before anybody ever heard the term Messianic or Hebrew roots or biblical roots or foundational teachings, before anybody's ever heard of anything like that, there was a native couple who are spiritual elders teaching about the feasts and the appointed times and the eternal covenant of Shabbat.
They're now our spiritual elders to us, but mm-hmm. back then, we did, 20 years ago, we didn't know them.
Wow.
And what's interesting about that is that the people talk about, how Issachar and the Issachar anointing and the mantle of Issachar, I really believe native people have. And it's part of the piece of the revival that Billy Graham prophesied would happen with the First Nations. And we have personally seen what happens when First Nations walk the Holy Land. And it's just an incredible supernatural experience and events where he's right there with you. But we have so many incredible stories from conversations with rabbis to so many things that I believe that we're a key part.
And when we say we don't mean Joseph and I.
Yeah, we
mean
as native people
who have been brought into the truth of the times and of the identity, the true identity of the Jewish Messiah.
Mm-hmm. I am just so excited. I was trying to figure out, I first saw your names kind of, floating around Facebook, and you seemed to be connected to some of the Messianic believers that I knew, and I'm thinking, how does that fit in? And that's what just got me so interested in you guys, and I'm really glad that you just explained how you came to be involved, because I was wondering, how did this all fit in, and, when did you start to meet other Jewish believers in Jesus, and I was just trying to figure out how this all tied in, and this is really exciting.
My mother has, since I was a very young girl, instilled in me the love of Israel. She, I would see her talk about Israel with this faraway look in her eye. She'd never been, but she would just tear up when she would talk about Israel and about her Jewish savior. And so from a young age, it was always a part of our family network to be supportive of Israel. And come to find out that she does have Jewish lineage. It's through her father's mother, so technically by Jewish standards today, she's not considered Jewish. But I do believe that genetic memory was part of what set us into a place of love and respect for Israel. And just the understanding that our bridegroom is Jewish should enamor us to the culture and the people.
And as native people, you know, scripture says the last will be first and the first will be last. And we're the last people to receive the gospel message. And part of what Billy Graham prophesied was that native people would be a sleeping giant, that if we awakened, we would be a catalyst for revival all over the world.
Mm.
And when we were living in Israel and learning Hebrew and sitting down with the rabbis, you know, Orthodox, Reform Orthodox, and every spectrum almost of rabbis and scholars that we spoke with, we became ambassadors, First Nations ambassadors to Israel at the Knesset, appointed by M.K. Rabbi Yehuda Glick. This on was it Jerusalem Day?
It was at the juncture of Jerusalem Day and the 70th anniversary of Israel's rebirth.
And
there in Jerusalem, the day that, you know, at that time, within that 24-hour period of when Jerusalem was, the embassy was moved to Jerusalem.
Yeah, we were at the Knesset being made ambassadors. And something that to give you an idea of what happens when First Nations are in the Holy Land, and I was praying about what story should I share, you know, with you and your listeners, and the story of what happened at the Kotel came to mind. We were had just left. We had brought a delegation of Native elders and leaders on a tour of the Holy Land, just a personal private tour through a Radiant Group, Radiant Israel, which is an incredible tour company that's run by Israeli Messianic believers. And we brought them, and we went to the Jordan River that morning. And in the Jordan River, it was miraculous. It was incredible. Where the three of us Native men, we were in the Jordan, and white doves came down on us when we began to pray. And we went from there to the Kotel, went to Jerusalem.
When he says on us, he doesn't mean like they landed on them. They landed on.
Yeah, they like
right
flew down and landed right by. Yeah.
On the handrail down in the water, right in front of them.
There's a video of it on our Firekeeper's YouTube page.
Wow.
So we go to the Kotel and we have our hand drums.
And the tour guides that were there, who were there, were saying, "We've been doing this for years. We've never seen that happen. That's like some New Testament stuff right there."
Yeah, and everybody's like, "What's going on? Why are the Indians here? Why are the Indians in Israel?" And so we get to Jerusalem, and there's a really cool story that happened even before that. But so we get to Jerusalem, get to the Kotel, and the security guard, he's like, "Lo tof, you can't bring your drum." And I was like, "I promise I won't play it." You know, because he said there's people praying and it would be disruptive. And I said, "I absolutely understand. But can I just bring it and pray with it while I'm at the wall? I promise you I will not beat the drum." And the guy said, "Yes, that's fine. That you can do that." So, and Benny, our Israeli friend who was with us,
the
tour guide, who's also a believer and son of a rabbi, incredible teacher, he helped with all that. So we get down here to the wall. Now, it's Thursday, which is when the bar mitzvahs take place. And we didn't know this. So we're at the wall, we're praying, and I felt like singing a traditional Cherokee song that comes from my wife's tribe, my wife's people. And it's a going to water song, which is...
It's a mikveh. And he had just done a mikveh at that Jordan. And so when he came back...
the traditional Cherokee.
Well, the traditional way, he wants me to tell you the traditional Cherokee going to water. In the morning, our people would get up and religiously every morning go to the river and face the east as the sun was rising and immerse seven times. And they would sing the song.
So we're singing this a very ancient song. And our friend, he's recording this, I had no idea. But we finished the song, and I noticed that this rabbi is walking up to us. And as he's walking up, he gets our attention. He's like, "Excuse me." And I was like, "Yes, sir." You know, that. And he says, "Can I ask you a question? A few questions?" So I was like, "Sure, of course." And he says, "Why are you wearing tzitzit?" And he says, "Because I had some buckskin fringes made, you know, kind of like tzitzit. And a friend of ours had made some tzitzit." And I said, "Well, our great chief wore tzitzit, and our people wear fringes. And so I follow his teachings. This rabbi's teachings. And then he asked us, "Do you eat kosher?" And I told him, I says, "Yes, we eat biblically clean." And then the rabbi said, "Good, now I can speak with you." And that was mind blowing for me, because I hear about people all the time trying to converse with the Orthodox, and they won't give them the time of day, you know, because they consider many of the people unclean. But he said, "Good, I can talk to you now." And then he said, "That song that you were singing," he said, "that's a song from your people, yes?" And I explained that it was from my wife's tribe and what it was. And he said, "I understood every word you sang."
You're kidding. How?
Nope. And I asked him, I said, "Can you translate the song?" And he said, "Ken, yes." And he translated the song, which the song translates into, "I belong to Yah." And at this point, two other rabbis show up. And these rabbis were doing the bar mitzvah. So there's about 80 kids, and plus all the people who are regularly there at the Kotel. And they're all asking us, "Why are the Indians in Jerusalem? Why are you here?" And we told them, we're here worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
One of the things that rabbi had said was that the reason he understood the words to the song was because it's in an ancient form of High Hebrew that's no longer known to most people.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow.
Yes. And so the rabbis are asking us, "Why are you here? Why are the Indians here?" And there's a lot of conversation back and forth, and we were just sharing things at the Kotel about our traditions, about our people, you know, how we love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even when some of them asked us, you know, are you believers? You know, and I said to them, I was like, "You're asking me a question. Please don't be dishonored or offended when I answer you, because I just want to be honest in my answer with you, because you've asked." And they're like, "Oh, yes, of course, I asked the question." And then of course that turned into, "Well, how can you be believers? Your people went through a Holocaust just like we did. You lost 6 million, we lost 6 million.
The Christians killed you.
The Christians killed
you. So many of you. How could you believe in their God?"
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it was interesting. We had some like theological debate there. But then the chief rabbi shows up. And the chief rabbi comes in. He's probably in his 90s, pure white hair like snow. And he's a small man. He comes walking up, and it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. I mean, the crowd just parted as he came up. And through a translator, he's asking us, "Why are the Indians in Jerusalem? Why are you here? Why are you here worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" And then he looks at us, and through the translator, he says, "You are prophecy. This is prophecy.
Being fulfilled.
This is Isaiah
18.
He says, "This is Isaiah 18. And he starts rejoicing. And he says, "This is speaking about your people. And our prophecies say that when the Indians are in Jerusalem, worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we know Mashiach is at the door."
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the chief rabbi looks, and one of my friends is holding his hand drums. I'm getting chills again just remembering this memory. And he looks over and he grabs one of the hand drums. And guess what he does?
He starts playing it.
He starts beating that drum full of joy because Messiah is coming, and he's singing, "Life, life, Messiah is coming soon." And he's getting everybody to dance as he's beating the drum. Who's going to tell the chief rabbi he can't beat the drum? That's a Kotel in Jerusalem, right?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This is all happening right there at the Western Wall, the Kotel. Wow.
Yes, I will send you the video of it.
Oh, please do.
It's interesting because the prior generation had an encounter at the Western Wall with rabbis very similar to this.
With our elders.
Yeah, with our elders and some of the ones who were forerunners in the prior generations' relations and bridge building between Israel and native people as well. So it's interesting. It's repeating itself in our generation. And we pray that that relationship will continue being fostered into the future with the next generation.
I do also want to mention that we have a very strict proselytizing policy. Whenever we are in the land of Israel, we do not proselytize.
And I know that's probably not a very popular decision with some people, but the strategy that the Lord has given us for this, for our relationship with the Jewish people is this. We love them, and we are who we are. We don't go to any efforts to hide our light. We live love to them. If they ask us, then we will answer them so that we are open and honest, but without trying to push an agenda, because scripture says that all of Israel will be saved in a day.
And it was Yeshua that took the blinders off of Shaul's eyes, not anybody else.
And so we don't believe that it's our job to try to be the surgeon to cut any scales off. We believe that they know enough about scripture and prophecy to be able to put two and two together in the right time, and the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to them.
Amen. I love it. I love it. This is really exciting. Now, if people want to learn more, or if they want to support you, or is there a website they should go to?
There is. It's www.firekeepersinternational.org. We also have a YouTube channel, so like and subscribe and share. It's got a lot of our adventures and outreaches, teachings from the Holy Land when we live there. And we also, there's another part of our mandate in this season. I mean, we've always been supporters of Israel, and we'll continue to do so. But the Creator brought us, about 2 years ago, told us that the direction of what we were doing was going to completely change course. And what he told us was, the bride is not ready for what's coming. You must prepare the bride. So since then, what we do is we teach people. We educate. We still do teaching, you know, scripture. You'll find out on our channel and in our newsletter. But in a practical sense, we're also physically training people. You know, my wife is a master herbalist and a doctor of naturopathy, and we have an incredible network of instructors. So, for example, we teach a native wild foraging course. All these classes are free. We just ask that people will continue to share the knowledge. So it's teaching people how to make medicines, how to identify plants for surviving. We have been...
We say all of our classes are free. We ask for donation for them, mm-hmm. but there is a class, a highly specialized class that's coming up that's an exception to that rule.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because these instructors are very well qualified and we've got to pay them.
They're top tier instructors. So I think that class you're talking about is the...
Anti-kidnapping and hostage survival,
mm-hmm.
which seems like a really crazy class probably to most people. Like, why would I ever need that? But I personally have lived through two kidnapping attempts and two murder attempts on separate occasions.
One man had killed 12 women before she was the first one to escape.
Yikes. Oh my goodness.
My mother and father have both been kidnapped, and my niece has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, whenever you go overseas, Americans are a high target. So, and some of my problems occurred on the mainland here. And the more trying times get, the more we're going to need to be skilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because these, you know, times are not getting easier.
Mm-hmm. So you'll see on our website classes that have to do with wilderness first aid survival. We have a class coming up on natural wild birth. You know, like emergency wild
childbirth.
Did I say wild birth?
Yes, you did.
Oh my god!
Well, it is kind of wild.
I'm thinking to myself, don't say wild.
It's a wild experience.
Out in the wild.
He's been joking and calling it something along those lines, like wild birthing,
savage
in the woods.
In the woods.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, honey,
get your tent
the
ready.
Point is, point is that, you know, first of all, a lot of people don't want to go through the traditional pharmakia type birthing process anymore. And another issue is that people don't want to go into hospitals filled with COVID patients to have children. And what happens one day if we can't just go to a hospital or have a doctor nearby? What if we need to be prepared for times where more skilled and experienced midwives and doctors may not be available? The people used to be, it used to be that all the women knew how to birth babies. And when it would come time for the birthing, the mother would be surrounded by knowledgeable family members and friends who knew how to bring a child into this world. It is becoming a lost art. And it is our right as women to be able to bring forth life into this earth without having the oversight and the mandated processes go through. You know, we should be able to choose whether we want that or not. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to revive those skills and that knowledge in people, how to get back to the earth in the basics of growing our food from the original Genesis mandate to till the soil by the sweat of our brows and to rule over the earth in the way that we should, with good stewardship.
Yeah, we're also teaching indigenous skills that are dying to whoever's willing to learn. Proverbs, it says twice in Proverbs, that Proverbs 27:12, that the cautious man sees danger coming and prepares. The fool does nothing and suffers the consequences. So there's nothing wrong with being ready. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. And that's what we find in the outline of the feast. The Father gave us a prepping plan. Mm-hmm. Right there. That's something that Laurelin came up with last year when we were teaching a prepper camp. So we're also, while we're still doing biblical teaching, we have Mandate 25, we feed the hungry. So we still do a lot of the regular things and support widows and orphans.
We have a suicide prevention program that's an encounter-based, culturally relevant program. Mm-hmm. That has been geared toward Native people because we have the highest suicide rate of any culture.
Yep.
And it's going to be taken
to veterans.
Yeah.
We had a powerful experience at Standing Rock with about 300 plus veterans that we were able to just minister to and pray for. And it was really encouraging. We are now sitting on a promise that the Father gave. The Father had been telling us when we were in Israel that we'd had many prophecies that land was being prepared for us, that the Lord was going to give us land, and it would be a restoration. And one specific verse was, "I will restore you to the land of your ancestors, and you will not be removed." So we believed in this promise for over 16 years. And last year, a couple came up to us after Shabbat because we wanted a place to be able to implement these things, to be able to teach. Land to do these things on. And the couple said, "We'd like to talk with you. The Lord told us to give you our log cabin home and our homestead. It's 24 acres of land." And Laurelin said, "Well, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. Do you want us to take over the mortgage? Do you want us to take over payments? Because we don't want to go into debt. That's a form of slavery." And they said, "No, it's paid off. The Lord said to give it to you."
Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so we are sitting here in the home overlooking the land that firekeepers will be using for training, for preparing the body, for teaching, for education, and whatever the Father wants.
They split the property up and gave a portion of it to us personally and a portion of it to firekeepers. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done to be able to make it into something where people can come and and learn. So we have our work cut out for us.
Yes.
You do.
On our website, we will have times and seasons here where we're going to have interns. So people can come and help work on the land, but also there'll be teachings and praise and worship, and it'll be a very fulfilling experience spiritually as well as physically.
But I'll tell you one of the projects that I'm really, a couple of other projects. One that I'm very excited about is an opportunity that we recently were given and prayed about, and the Lord told us to do it. And that is that Charisma Media has asked us to do a podcast to introduce the truth of the names of Yahweh, you know, however you want to pronounce it, of Yahweh and Yeshua, and of the Sabbath and the feasts to the Christian church.
It's an exposure that averages 37 and a half million Christians.
Wow, that's great.
On their downloads, yeah.
Yeah, 37 and a half million downloads a month.
And they, when they contacted us, they said, we told them, we said, are you sure you want us to teach on your platform? Do you know what we teach?
Do you know what we teach?
Yeah, we teach the Sabbath and the feasts. And they're like, they've been scouring over our teachings for several months with a team of people. And they said, we can't find... we agree with a lot of this. This is what Scripture says. So they said yes, and we said, "Well, would we be uncensored?" And they said, "Absolutely. The church needs to learn about the feast. This is the Issachar anointing." So we have that that's happening this year,
and we're looking for sponsors for that. Mm-hmm. That's a very exciting project to us. And then the other major thing that Firekeepers International is doing is helping with missing and murdered indigenous people.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of people don't realize this is the real pandemic that's been happening in the country. Thousands, and I literally thousands upon thousands of Native girls and now boys as well, just go missing every year. And one statistic in 2016, there were over 5,000, I think it was 5,076 cases of missing and murdered indigenous women.
Just the first week of this month.
But in that 2016, of that 5,076 cases, only 0.02% were even investigated.
Mm.
It is happening at an alarming rate. They're being sold into sex slavery, into trafficking. So one of the things that we are doing, the National Congress of American Indians, which we're both members of, they'd asked Firekeepers to be part of the task force to help address some of these issues. And what we've come up with is...
It's called Lost and Bound Project. And so we're offering services to help with prevention of people going missing, prevention for getting into the lifestyles that make it easier to go missing and murdered, and to offer investigative services from top tier qualified investigators.
We also have a team, access to a team that does extractions. In the words of one of the people that works in our teams, they said, when you hear about the young girl that decides to go hiking the Iranian-Iraqi border, we're the guys that go and get her out. In the hopes that that's a possibility, you know, we have access to those teams as well. So we're going to be trying to help fight this as much as possible. In July, there's a run to bring awareness to this, all the way from Washington State, which right now is one of the top hubs of missing and murdered indigenous girls.
And by the way, you heard this first on Bagels and Blessings.
Yes.
This is brand new to everybody.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. I wish that I had more time. I have to say, normally I only interview for about 20 to 25 minutes, but you guys are doing so much stuff. And I just, you know, I'm amazed. I'll just play. No, you know what? This is important.
Two different episodes.
No, maybe. Or I'll just play less music. This is really important. I praise God, because these are really important issues. I praise God that He is using you so mightily. And I just know that one day you're going to hear these words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." And I just want to thank you so much for being a guest on Bagels and Blessings. And I am just sitting here in awe of all the things that you're involved with. And I praise God that you know about the Jewish roots of your faith. And I praise God that He's using you to reach so many people. And I just love what you're doing, and I'm with you all the way.
Hallelujah. And, it's an honor to our Creator,
yes,
Yahweh.
And it's been an honor and blessing. As First Nations people, you know, we see the people of Israel as the First Fruits Nation. And we will always have a place for the Jewish people. No matter what goes on in the world, our people will be defenders of your people.
Thank you. Lord bless you and touch all that you do and give you all of the resources that you need and keep you good and healthy. And oh, thank you. A million thank yous for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you.
Bon matin.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Blessings, Ethel.
Thanks. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, it isn't every day that I get to interview Native American believers in Yeshua. That was really exciting. I sure hope that you enjoyed the music today and the interview. And I pray that the Lord strengthens you, fills you with peace, joy, and answers all your prayers. And right now, my friends, it is time for the Aaronic Benediction with Philip Stanley Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.